I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs.
I play video games.
News and the Boomer with your hosts, John DeLuna, XB,
X-Chicken,
Weebum.
Damn right I am.
And Rob.
Here we go!
News and the Boomer.
Yes, with me this week, the full crew. XB, Peter, and Rob. Guys, how are you doing on this fine, fine recording afternoon?
Not bad.
Not bad?
Alright,
yeah?
My microwave's broken.
Your what's broken?
Microwave.
Oh god.
Oh no.
Why are you here? Get it fixed!
How can I live without a microwave?
How can you make popcorn?
I'd be dead.
Exactly! How can I live?
Man. So how are we gonna
no
get
popcorn,
this?
No popcorn, no problem.
How are we gonna get this resolved?
No hot pockets.
I gotta go buy a new one.
You sure do.
That's what I was trying to do before the show, but I didn't have any cash on me. Oops.
Oh well. Hey, microwaves are expensive.
Yeah, ish. It's about $65. I only had 60.
Oh man, so close.
Bad planning.
Cash society. Damn you.
That's right. It's like society's already fallen. They only take cash these days. No credit. No fun. No popcorn.
Society has fallen. I can't buy a microwave.
That's right. I guess that's like first world problems, huh?
Yeah.
I can't make myself a Hot Pocket tonight.
First world problem. I'm going to starve. So this week, our topic will be disappointment. How inspiring. We're going to just talk about some of the experiences we've had in video games where we were maybe disappointed a little bit. Maybe we were excited to get a game, only to find the game doesn't meet expectations. If not, kind of sucks. I know mine, maybe it feels a little recent, but it's just as valid, whether it's an old story or a new story, I think. But Street Fighter Cross Tekken is turning into kind of a cruddy game here. It has really nothing to do with the... like all the problems surrounding the game with the DLC and the bugs and stuff like that. It's just, it's very interesting that in this day and age, I've forgotten what it's... In this day and age, for some reason, I've almost assumed that any game of name value that comes out is going to be at least good. So it's going to go through the ringer of approvals and testing. So it's going to be at least, like, entertaining, like, fun. Because at this point, hasn't video games evolved to the point where we have like a process to create fun, and it doesn't really fail if you take enough time? I guess not. Yeah, XV's shaking his head. Here's proof, because the game isn't fun. It's not constructed to be fun. The pacing's really weird. 70% of your matches end in timeouts, which is awesome in a fighting game. Yeah, you end up just like your characters are just kind of like standing there, shrugging their shoulders, like, we're out of time, sorry.
Is there not an option to turn the timer off?
I don't know, but that would only make the pain last longer, I think.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, if one of your main complaints is the match is ending in timeout rather than somebody actually winning.
Yes.
Oh, if you can turn the timer off, that would alleviate that.
It would. But, so...
No, I get what you're saying. It's sort of a big problem where you can't actually finish a match within the given...
Yeah, I mean, I like your thinking, soldier. I like your thinking. But, yeah.
If the problem, just sidestep it.
That's right. Just eliminate it on a technicality. That sounds good. But this game is... So the pacing's bad. The damage output's bad. I'm not even talking about like the bugs. It's riddled with bugs, but I'm not going to talk about that. It's just the game itself is just not fun. And so at this point, like a month and a half into it, everybody's kind of looking around, asking each other, "Is this really fun? Like, do we really want to keep playing this?" Like, everybody's playing it because it's new, and that's what fighting game players do. When a big game comes out, they play it. But instead of it getting more fun or interesting, everybody's kind of looking around, saying, "This is boring. Like, we don't want to play it anymore." So that's my biggest disappointment. Rob, have you had any games that you popped in and you were just kind of let down by the experience?
Yeah, the one that comes to mind, it was not an immediate disappointment, but more a gradual thing, is Final Fantasy VII. VI is just about my favorite game in the entire series, and that was an awful lot to live up to. And about, you know, you get to the big scene at the end of Disc 1, and, you know, Aeris dies, and I'm thinking, okay, so... Time to go get Sephiroth, time to go kill the bastard, let's actually advance the plot here. The beginning of Disc 2, I believe, like, the first thing you end up in is a hypothermia minigame.
Okay.
What?
Yeah, you're climbing a mountain, and you have to occasionally stop and mash the circle button to keep warm so you do not pass out and die.
Okay.
That's tough.
And unfortunately slash fortunately, I was in a household with two other people who were playing through this game, so I got to watch other people make progress beyond where I was while I took a frustration break. And I kind of noticed that a couple of things that just never sat well with me, like the fact that you never actually get to directly beat any of the major villains in the game. Matter of fact, the one that actually gets killed, the death is retconned in one of the spin-offs. And at the end of the game, the basic message of the end of the game is that, yay, the human race is extinct, the planet is better now. Ooh. So I never finished that game.
Yeah, oh, really? You never finished? Now, did you do realize that, like, Final Fantasy VII is, like, hailed as, like, a triumph in video gaming? So... you do have, like, a hot opinion here, though. But you make a good argument.
It's kind of an argument that's bounced back and forth over the years, but, you know, I kind of wish I'd played the PC version, because on top of all of this, Final Fantasy VI had some of the best writing of an RPG released up to that point. It actually did not feel like you were playing something translated. And the line I usually use to illustrate the downgrade in translation quality for Final Fantasy VII is, "This guy are sick."
Awesome. That is awesome.
And the PC version, as it turns out, I've talked to someone who only played it on the PC, and they're standing there scratching their head when I'm saying this, because as it turns out, the PC version actually got a good translation about a year later, so...
Oh, so they did that translation, like, after the initial one?
Yeah, so they actually, the person who translated practically everything Squaresoft and Square Enix has done since, did not come to the company in time to do the PS1 release of Final Fantasy VII, but he did work on the PC version. So, unfortunately, none of the re-releases of VII on PSN or any place else have ever actually included this translation. So, if you play it on the original console, this guy still are sick.
Hey, by the way, you still get English in, like, modern games, which blows my mind. I mm-hmm. don't understand, in 2012, why we get transliteration at this point. Because you still get, you know, English! It's awful.
It's not that hard, right? To find a competent dual, like, a person who is bilingual and can just... who's just capable of, you know, just saying,
well,
okay, this is what this
means. The bigger part of it is, you run it through quality control, too. You have a second person
to read
through it and make sure that, okay, this makes sense in the English language.
Right.
And as I understand it, with a lot of places, especially Square Enix, at this point, translation and writing are different jobs, so that you have one person to do the raw translation, and then somebody else actually comes along and writes the thing so that it sounds right. And, you know, since the time of Final Fantasy VII, I can't really fault Square Enix for this, because especially their work on Dragon Quest has been some of the best, most natural-sounding dialogue, and awful puns, that I have ever heard in a video game. So,
if they can get the awful puns in there, you know they're doing something good with the writing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I don't have any specific examples, but I can tell you, so far in 13-2, in Final Fantasy 13-2, there I know there have been a couple of moments where I've, like, cocked my head and stopped, and I was like, wait a minute, is that English? Good to see you, buddy. It's like, wait a minute, people don't say that. So,
I have to admit, I did finally try that a couple of weeks ago, but I just could not stick with it because of a speaking of disappointments, of a single event in the first chapter of the game. You walk up to these trees, and this person that were not here the day before, and this person is saying, this looks like some kind of time distortion field, or some kind of really, you know, some kind of answer that would be... Yeah, some kind of answer that would be represented as the word tech in brackets in a Star Trek script.
Ah, yes.
And then you get to the next scene when Noel, one of the main characters, shows up, and he says, I am from 700 years in the future. And the same person who was just talking about distorted time fields, or whatever it is, says, that's impossible, I don't believe you. And that's when I stopped.
Yeah. The, you know, and 13.2, not to rag on 13.2, but here we go. 13.2 has got a bad case, and this is bad in modern games, especially in the last few years. 13.2 is very guilty of having content that's essentially this. You're walking around, you come across somebody who's talking to somebody else, you walk up to them, you butt in on their conversation, and they happen to be saying, yeah, man, you know, it'd really be great if I was, you know, able to find this thing, but we've run out of this thing. Man, I can't find this thing. It'd be great if somebody could find this thing and bring it back to me, because, gosh, this thing is something I really need.
It'd be awesome if somebody went on a quest.
Yeah, but it's really hard to find. Somebody may have dropped it in a really dangerous dungeon. That kind of sucks, man. I wish somebody could go get this thing. You're not even talking to them. You're, like, listening to their conversation with somebody else. And so, hey, I think I'm going to go get this thing. And so half an hour later, you come back with it, and they're like, oh, wow, awesome, man. I was really looking for this thing. Now that I have this thing, here's some money, stranger.
It would have been great if you could just walk up to him and just be like, go get it yourself, you lazy bum.
Yeah, or you know, I mean, so that counts as content.
Well, no, I mean, you're kind of looking at this wrong. I mean, Peter's kind of on the right track with it, but you do that, then you punch them and steal their money and save a lot of time.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, or they give you, like, a map. Like, oh, hey, man, thanks for this cog. I really can use this cog. Here's a secret treasure map. You can probably use that, right? You know, you look like a pirate. I was like, okay. Like, instead of cash, here's this other weird random trinket. You can use that, right? Okay, let's trade. And it goes on and on. That counts for, like, half the content of the game. Yeah, 13
no,
is awful.
Seriously, like, where is the mugging button?
Well, if it makes you feel any better, you do, like, you walk around as, like, an 80-pound anime girl in 13.2, essentially. Or her 100-pound suggested boyfriend kind of sort of guy. The guy that she's going to get all lovey with later in the game, you can kind of tell. So I don't know if that's character appropriate. Although getting mugged by an 80-pound anime girl sounds like a fetish video in Japan.
Okay. What you have to remember, though, is that, you know, in anime stuff, traditionally, the less clothes the girl wears, the more powerful she is.
Oh,
it's true. You gotta
so
watch out for
the way
the
Final Fantasy characters are dressed, she's probably one of the strongest people in the world.
You gotta watch out for the naked girls. Yeah.
The one thing I do like also, might I add, talking about anime girls, so you run around as anime girl in 13.2, and you'll go to worlds where it's frigid. It's arctic. It's snowing constantly, right? Her wardrobe does not change. But the character shivers periodically. So so they either couldn't be bothered with writing in some way for her to get better clothing on those worlds, but they did go to the trouble of animating her freezing to death if you don't constantly move around. She just starts
that goes back to Rob's hypothermia.
Look, it's obviously plot convenient, right? That she doesn't wear clothing, so you could play that hypothermia minigame.
I guess so.
It all comes full circle. See, it makes sense, Rob. That's why she plays the hypothermia minigame.
Sure. In Final Fantasy.
She's like, I look way too hot to be covering this body up. So
that's right.
Hypothermia minigame.
That's right. cover up my pink hair and my pink shorts and my pink shirt and my glittery boots and all that stuff. You must be crazy. Hey, so Peter, did you have any disappointing times in video games that come to mind for you?
Yeah, I actually have two. One is for gameplay, one is for story. So the one for gameplay is back in the Xbox days. You know, this is when a whole bunch of Grand Theft Auto ripoffs occurred. They still kind of occur, but, you know, back then it was a lot. So there's this game. It was a sequel to True Crime Streets of L.A. It's called True Crime Streets of New York. Gameplay, centered around shooting and driving, and they were both terrible. The cars actually floated. So if you were like, oh, I drove, look what happened. I accidentally flipped my car. Oh, look, it's going to float on its roof. And then, oh, look, it's back onto its four wheels. Perfect. This is great.
Physics.
What are you talking about? Yeah. My car does it all the time.
Exactly, you know? So, and then there's this one part of the game where it's near the tail end of the game. I was almost going to beat the game. And it said X. You're getting up to the point where you're pushing this guy off the ledge, and you're like, press X to completely throw him off. And I would press X, and nothing would happen. So it turns out it was a bug where you actually can't beat the game.
Oh.
They actually forgot to, like, I guess, forgot to, at that point of the game, said, they forgot this, like, if statement. If this player presses the X button, you throw the goddamn guy off the freaking rope, like, off the freaking ledge. They forgot to do that, so you can't beat the game. And this was before patches and stuff, you know, DLCs and stuff occurred, so you're pretty much screwed.
Great. Awesome.
So that was my gameplay disappointment. My story disappointment is actually also quite recent. We were actually talking about this before. I did an earlier review called for the game L.A. Noire. Mm-hmm. The game itself was cool, you know, playing the detective and stuff, but the story was awful. I know for a noir, like a game that's based on like the film noir, you know, genre, everybody's got to be screwed up in one way or another. But I don't want to play a guy who's who pretty much just goes to a nightclub and watches like a dancer / hooker like singing every night, and then you wind up having an affair. And you have a wife with two kids, and you always talk about how great they are and how you're devoted and stuff like that. And then after that happens, you get to play the guy again, consistently, continuously. You play him and stuff, and it's like, oh, okay. It's like, it's just...
Man. It's kind of a downer.
Yeah,
yeah,
no
it's
kidding.
Like, holy crap.
So you, like, you play a complete asshole, like, the whole time.
Yeah. Pretty much about right.
Huh. Interesting. Interesting. I like that you have morals, though, Peter. I like that you don't play in a hooker loving. Is he an alcoholic?
No, he wasn't.
I would imagine.
Oh,
but
okay.
No,
surprising twist.
He was not an alcoholic, but you know, see, I don't have issues with, you know, doing bad things. It's like, you know, Grand Theft Auto.
That's a quote.
You know. like Grand Theft Auto, I go around, you know, and get into cars with hookers, and then afterwards, I kill them and take their money back. It's like,
oh,
you know, it's
gosh.
Like a different situation. It's fine. But when you're playing a guy who, like, trumps himself up as being like, yeah, I'm the greatest guy in the face of the planet, and then I just had an affair, and I got thrown out of my house, and now I've been demoted.
Man.
It just gets worse and worse.
Oh. So many quotes today. So many quotes. All from Peter.
I think I don't have problems doing bad things. It's the one that. So.
Yeah. Or the one you just said where you got thrown out of your house is going to be awesome. That's going to be somewhere. We're going to use that one. Hey, XB. Anything?
Well, yeah, and it's probably not going to be a popular opinion, but I like that. When I got Super Mario Galaxy a few weeks after it came out, you know, I love, like, Super Mario 64. It was one of my favorite games ever. And I figured, okay, this is an interesting concept, and combine that with the whole 3D Mario thing. Even Mario Sunshine was okay. I didn't really have a big problem with that for what little I played it. But, you know, a few hours into Mario Galaxy, and it's like, oh, well. Because, like, you know, Mario 64 and even Mario Sunshine, there's some freedom to move around. you know, you can go exploring, do different things. But with all the levels in Super Mario Galaxy, it's so linear. It's like playing an old 2D Mario where there's one goal, one way to go and do it, and nothing on either side to look at. You know, it's not what I wanted for the $55-$60, whatever it was at the time. I hear Mario Galaxy 2 maybe a little bit better, like they filled in some of the gaps, but I can't imagine the game style changed so much that it would
be still very. Yeah, it's still very much that linear star choose, go this way thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, even at that time, I hardly had any games for my Wii, and I figured, okay, cool, a good Mario game, that'll be great, I can sink lots of hours into this, and like 2 weeks later, I ended up selling it.
Oh, that's the worst. That's when you know, yeah, that's when you know you made a bad purchase, or when you just get as much money as you can, like, 2 weeks later back from it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I didn't sell the GameStop, so I got most of my money back out of
it. Yeah,
there was one other, too, which was a few years before that, which was the Spider-Man 3 movie game. Because, of course, with Spider-Man 2 being, like, the best free-roaming superhero game ever made, at least at that point, maybe still, I don't know. You know, of course, Spider-Man 3 should be, you know, at least as good, if not better. No, not at all.
Was it a different developer?
It was on the PS2, yeah.
I think it was all around.
Yeah,
that's
so
weird. They did such a great job with 2 that you'd think that they would just...
Yeah, 2 was fantastic.
It sounds like we're talking about the movies. Sent that too.
Well, I didn't like Spider-Man 2, the movie, either.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. That's for another podcast.
And actually, the Spider-Man movies ended up being like the X-Men movies. I liked the first one the first time I saw it, but then going back and rewatching it or watching it in the sequels, no thanks.
Hey, that Green Goblin costume, hard to take seriously. Hard to take seriously.
Yeah, WTF.
Yeah, but hey, did you see the costume testing for the first attempt at the Green Goblin costume, where it was way more like organic, and they did like a makeup test, and there's footage of that. You should go look it up on the internet.
Anything better than the armor?
Well, I don't know. We'll see. But okay, all right, okay. But just to pique your interest, yes, there is makeup test footage of an organic Green Goblin for Spider-Man 1 out there. Check it out. Okay, on that note, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, new releases for this week, a little bit of new releases from last week in case you missed them, a tidbit on the Xbox, and then the random hypothetical. This is New Soundwave.
Got a feeling we're not in Brooklyn no more.
Luigi!
Sandy! You better not hurt us!
They're brothers. They're plumbers.
Oh, no. Mario!
Luigi!
They're on the trail of a kidnapped princess and a mystical meteorite.
It's incredible!
That gives anyone who possesses it the power to rule the universe.
Get me the rock!
Come and get it, lizard breath!
Now, they must rescue the princess.
Luigi! Alien species escaping.
And make it safely back.
Later, alligator.
To our world.
Are you all right?
Before time runs out. Super Mario Brothers. This ain't no game.
In each of us, there burns the fury of a warrior.
In every generation, a few are chosen to prove it.
One of you three will decide the outcome of the tournament.
Three strangers will travel to the mystical realm of Outworld to defend our people against Shang Tsung.
You will die.
And his forces of darkness. In an ancient tournament, one more victory.
Your soul is mine.
In our world,
no!
Is theirs.
It has begun.
You can't run from me, Sam.
I don't need to run.
Okay.
Combat begins.
New sound wave.
Flawless victory.
New releases, guys. New releases for the week of the 25th of March. Let's see here. Oh, an Avengers game. Awesome. Marvel Avengers Alliance. Not awesome. It's a Facebook game. So it's exclusive for the Facebook console. Lucius, in which you play the son of the devil, who's a five-year-old, and you are charged with, I think, killing everybody in a mansion. Society has not fallen yet, believe it or not, and this is not Mortal Kombat's fault, but it sure feels like it. Rhythm Thief and the Emperor's Treasure, don't know anything about that. Ridge Racer Unbounded, this is Ridge Racer crossed with Demolition Derby.
Wow.
They are really trying. They are really trying. So, yeah, it's essentially a Ridge Racer game where you crash into each other. Okay. Tiger Woods.
Well, and the next iteration will be Ridge Racer crossed with Twisted Metal.
Oh, yes. Ridge Racer cross Twisted Metal. Make it happen. Make it happen. Tiger Woods, PGA 13, Gears of War 3, Forces of Nature DLC. And then also, we would be remiss if we didn't mention last week's new releases, which were big while we were off. C'est la vie. Ninja Gaiden 3, or Gaiden, Ninja Gaiden 3, it got a score of 5.5 out of 10. It sucks. Every modern Ninja Gaiden game to this point has either sucked or been impossible to play. Which may mean it sucks. I don't know. They can't get these right. I don't know what their problem is. Like, the first two were god-awful impossible. The second one was unplayable. And I guess the third one's just as bad. What say you, Peter? Didn't you play these? You played the first one, right? The second one?
I beat the first one. The second one was I stopped because it sucked, and I'm glad the third one sucks too, so I don't... Nobody... Maybe people will stop wasting their money on them so they can... So those people can claim their, like, 6 years that it took them to make this one.
Yeah. Yeah, suck it. That's what we say. Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City. It has a score of 4.5. So apparently it is buggy as all get out and unfinished and full of holes, and Resident Evil fans are freaking out. Freaking out. It's also a multiplayer game. It's a multiplayer shooter. So take that for what it's worth. That means they didn't bother writing a story, and they just said, hey, everybody, here's an arena. Go grab some guns and play each other and pay us $60 for it.
Am I the only one who used to dread when you'd see in the gaming magazines the phrase, they seem to be focusing on the multiplayer?
That is the kiss of death. Now, It is the kiss of death. It's like, hey, we're looking for a free paycheck, is essentially.
But that has totally changed now, I feel like. I mean, all the modern warfare games, like, their first person, you know, their story element is terrible. It doesn't make any sense. It's convoluted. It's boring. But people play it because of the multiplayer aspect, right? So if it's such a... I think it depends.
It depends. It's It depends. I think some games have, like, organically gone to the multiplayer as the priority because the multiplayer is good. Like, everybody loved Gears of War multiplayer, and that has become totally, like, the priority because everybody loves the multiplayer experience because it's so good. It's so well-constructed and well-designed. We'll do a story just to kind of keep that fraction of people happy, but everybody knows why they're buying this franchise. And then Modern Warfare may be the same thing. I mean, it's so well designed, it's so fun, it kind of organically happened, and yeah, we'll do a story because we have to. But when, like, a new game comes out, which is essentially has no history of multiplayer, and they say, yeah, this is going to be a multiplayer game, it's about multiplayer, not about anything else, everybody goes rut-row. I don't know about that. So that is what this is, and it got a 4.5. Kid Icarus Uprising getting scores of 8s and 9s on the 3DS, so it looks like it's a pretty good game. Kid Icarus, gotta pick that up. Silent Hill HD Collection. If you like Silent Hill games, if you like rape allegories, this one's for you. It's in high def. Kingdoms of Amalur DLC, that came out. Quick little news bit for you guys. The new Xbox, Microsoft has now made it clear that they are not going to show it at E3 in June. They promise. Now, that could be a fat lie, but they have said that there will be no talk of new Xbox hardware at E3 anytime soon. Spokesperson said in a statement to Bloomberg, and then they went on to say, for us, 2012 is about the Xbox 360. Huzzah. And then finally, before we get to the random hypothetical, here is a depressing note for game historians. So Jet Set Radio is an awesome game. It was an awesome game for the Dreamcast. It was a groundbreaking game. It was a game based heavily on music. And it's getting an HD update later this summer. The problem is, only about half the songs from the original game will make it into the HD remake. Because they couldn't get the license to reissue those songs with the new version of the game. So sad. So sad. So sad. Okay, guys. Time for the random hypothetical. This one is kind of a combination of me seeing The Hunger Games and The Walking Dead, and also just looking XV up and down and thinking, what is this guy going to do when this happens? So, here it is.
Well, you better ask me last, because you'll get the best answer.
I think I will. I'm going to ask Peter first.
Oh, gee, what a surprise.
Yes. Okay, so Peter has had a long day at work. He cracks open a beer, sits down in his recliner, turns on the TV, and he sees panic in the streets. Cars overturned. It has happened. It has happened, Peter. The zombie outbreak is here. What is the first thing you do?
Better finish this beer. I better buy more beer.
I'm afraid currency is now no longer existent.
Oh, well, I better go steal more beer.
Okay, so we know Peter's going to end up the drunk zombie in episode 9, apparently.
Right.
Okay, so you're Peter, your first reaction is to drink and acquire more alcoholic beverages, apparently. Not shotguns.
Gun second.
Get a good buzz and then go get the guns.
Because it obviously doesn't matter who you're going to shoot anymore because they're all zombies.
Oh my gosh!
I mean, think about it, right? I guess. If everybody's a zombie, you have a shotgun and you're drunk, what are you going to do? What's the worst that could happen?
Man, I don't know.
Well,
probably
the worst that could happen is you dead.
That's true.
Well,
you get that nice spread shotgun.
Yeah, so, the spread shotgun. Get a sawed off of it.
Yeah. So if you take out a couple survivors, whatever. They're going to be zombies at some point.
Well, hopefully they'll help me out. They'll probably, you know.
Not if you're drunk and shooting at
them. Yeah, guess what they want? The little drunk on
there. Oh, yeah. This loose cannon. It's like he won't stop drinking and he won't let go of his sawed-off shotgun. That's why we keep him around, because he's got a sawed-off shotgun. Okay, Rob. They're here. It's over. Fall of man. What are you doing?
myself, the first thing I'd probably be doing would be going up to my brother's room because that's where all the weapons are. So.
Okay.
And he's not joking either.
Note to self.
My brother used to take kung fu, and it we have some nice stuff. So.
Oh, that's badass.
Nothing ranged, but a good start to get us to where the guns are.
All right.
There better be Rob's house.
Yes. There better be some long swords in there. That's awesome. Okay, so Rob's house is going to be A-okay for a while. Very nice. Very nice. Note to self, too, if I ever visit Rob's house, you know, that's where the armory is. Okay, XV, you're up.
Well, see, in this situation, I'm actually in a good spot because I'm in a very rural area. Like, there's only about a dozen people in this neighborhood, and it's spread out over a couple mile stretch. And to either direction, there's a bunch of undeveloped land, so I can take. We've got guns, we've got non-perishable food, a little bit of a bag, go off into the wilderness and just keep clear of it all.
Nice.
Sidestep the problem.
Nice. Okay, so that's a plan. That is a well thought out plan.
Also, if not for that, my first step would be to get as far away from Peter as possible.
Well done, sir. Well done. Well done. You're also the only one who brought up food as in your first thought, though I guess food would be second or third on your guys' list, but yeah.
Yeah, because I don't have to immediately worry about anything getting close to me, and I would have enough food on hand where I could go out and then hunt afterwards. There's lots of deer around here.
Venison.
I mean, and the idea for me is, if I'm still sober enough when I go steal some more beer, I'll probably take some food, you know?
Okay.
Probably get some kicks, you know, some okay. Honey Nut Cheerios or something like
nice.
That.
Nice, that's right. Just walk right past the beef jerky. Yeah, and go get some Tic Tacs. Nice, yeah. Nice.
Hey, you gotta smell good when the zombies eat you, you know?
Oh, they're not getting you, man. You're gonna be like drunk off your ass and just spray fire left and right. And they're not gonna get
okay,
to
John,
you.
Okay, John. So what about you? How are you gonna get?
Okay, so I've seen enough zombie shows to know how this goes. So being a minority, I've already got like the odds way against me. Way against me.
You and me, buddy.
Yeah, that's right. So we're
Screwed
fucked.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's right. We're fucked over by like the fifth episode. So I'm gonna say that. The other thing I've seen this many a time too. Bullets, you run out of bullets. To Rob's point, if you got a good sword, that's gonna last you, right? And you're gonna get better at it because you're gonna build muscles swinging that axe or swinging that katana. So it's actually gonna get easier. I'm gonna go for the drawer full of knives. I'm gonna suit up. I'm gonna make myself this. This nice little like vest of knives and cutlery, you know, the chef's knife at the top,
nice
paring knife at the bottom, you know, go from big to small. Well, if I work my way down to the paring knife, I'm dying. So I need the chef's knife. Yeah, the chef's knife's up here top, first choice. Paring knife is just prolonging, you know, the inevitable. Anyway, I'm gonna go for the knives, and then I'm gonna go for the grains. So yeah. I think I'm gonna hit the store. I'm gonna hit the Sam's Club, and I'm gonna get the bulk stuff. I'm gonna get bulk toilet paper, and I'm gonna get bulk grains, because it's gonna be a lot of poop if I'm living off grains. But I'm gonna be living. Damn it, I'm gonna be living. So yeah. So Rob for the knives, Peter for the booze, XV for the venison, and me for the toilet paper. So we're gonna make it, guys. We're going to make it.
2-1-0. Game over.
Jeez. I love the power glove. It's so bad.
This has been New Soundwave. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Check out all our videos at tfvideo.net. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production.